to go. Taco to
and a big queue.
Taco to go.
Taco to go. Trip Taco just $2.99. Comes with a big Q, this deal so fine. Brisket breakfast, so much to choose for $2.99. You really can't lose.
Taco to go, taco to.
This deal legit.
Taco to go, taco.
Only at Quick Trip.
Taco to go, taco to go, taco to go.
$2.99.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H Town. Let's get to work in, man. Let's go.
Great day, great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Hey,
let's do it.
Let's do it. Jalen Reed, I still stepped on you. It's all good. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Hope you had a nice holiday weekend. If you were off yesterday, hope it was relaxing. Appreciate you getting up with us this morning. We're with you till 10 a.m. I am Sean Pendergast. He is Seth Payne. You know, Seth, you and I were talking before the show, as we do every day. And as much as we complain about the Astros and the boredom that has come with many, many of their games this year because they're just not a good offensive team, they're better of late, but they, by and large, for the 53 games so far this year, they're a below-average offensive team, and they're boring. It's far more boring not having them in our lives on a night. For the first time in 17 days, we didn't have an Astros game, and I'm like, what do I do with myself tonight?
Felt empty inside.
Very much so, yeah.
Like, what's it all even about, anyway? And then I watched the Brett Favre documentary, and
and
I really wonder
help.
What it's all about.
It didn't help, yeah.
Oh, the hell man. Is this world coming to?
Yeah, man.
What is this world coming to where the Astros can't find it to play a stinking 18 games in a row and then extend on into however many more?
It's just baseball.
Baseball every night, damn it.
It's just baseball.
You're
going to
load
man.
Manage people but then also want days off?
Yeah, man.
No way.
Yeah.
Not in my America.
Nope.
Get the platform ready.
So no Stros last night. But yesterday was a holiday show, so a lot of you probably dipped out and did some other things yesterday. So we've, you know, a lot of what we talked, fortunately, a lot of what we talked about yesterday is still applicable because there was no baseball last night. Mm-hmm. So we got plenty of stuff we can get to with the Stros. So we welcome you all in on a Tuesday morning here.
Astros are still 1.5 games back. Nothing with the Mariners happened yesterday that would have changed it.
So. Okay, so there you go. It's like yesterday never happened. It's like we were in carbon freeze for a day.
Mm-hmm.
And this is actually like kind of a good time to take inventory. I think that once they play tonight, they're a third of the way through the season. That feels like a good tent pole to kind of assess things here. So what have we learned about the Astros? Matt Kawahara actually did this yesterday on the Chronicle, and I was excited to see this. I'm like, oh, I wonder how this matches up with our list that we did of what we learned. Pretty damn close, including the order of it, too. Makes me wonder.
Interesting that the article came out after our show.
Makes me wonder. Maybe someone was listening. I'm joking around. Matt knows what he's doing. He doesn't need us. But I think it does accentuate the point that the things that we learned about this team during that 17-day stretch where we had baseball every day were, like, very poignant. You know, if we're all seeing the same stuff, very poignant. Best thing this team's got going for him right now is the bullpen. And when Matt lists it out, man, it's like, this is some of this team's best work in terms of bringing in no-namers and getting a lot out of them. I mean, they've always been good at it in the bullpen and mostly in the starting rotation, but they've always been able to sort of find guys. I don't remember seeing a group of guys where there's nobody that I can see. There's nobody whose numbers, like, pop out. Like, all right, well, if they got to bring this guy in or that guy in. Like, everybody, well, Bennett Sousa.
Taylor Skart's not on the roster anymore.
Yeah.
They kind of just, they expunged him, and, you know, guys. Sean Dubin comes back from injury, and Sean Dubin hasn't allowed a run since he's been back from injury, 8 2/3 innings.
Yeah.
It's I think there's a little bit of – he's let some guys on base and what have you, but, I mean, like, that might be the guy that you would have been most concerned about. Brian King has turned into just a seventh-inning mainstay.
Yeah.
You feel really good and solid about Brian King when he goes in. Brian Abreu had the – he blew it on Friday night, but by and large, over the course of the season, he's still a sub-2 ERA.
You know what this does? Like, looking at these paragraphs here with all these names, Bennett Sousa, Stephen Okert, Caleb Ort, Sean Dubin, as you mentioned, Brian King, the big one. This is, as soon as you said Brian King, seventh-inning mainstay, this group of guys makes the Rafael Montero contract look even dumber 2 years later. You know? Like, They gave Rafael Montero $11 million a year to fill a role that these guys are doing right now. Because they had, when they signed him to that deal, They had Ryan Presley and Brian Abreu on the roster already. Then they end up getting Josh Hader a year into the Montero deal. So you had Presley and Hader and Abreu last year. You had all three of those guys last year. I mean, you're finding guys at minimum salary to give you 2.04 ERAs in the sixth and seventh inning right now.
I'm glad you brought up Montero because I think that might be one of the under-heralded, more curious and like symbolic transactions of that period of the Astros' existence.
Yes.
Not the same. Jose Abreu, obviously, is going to be the marquee. Holy crap. Boy, did they blow it on this one. But even the Abreu deal, for the most part, when people around baseball saw that deal, they thought, well, boy, he's getting old. I see what they're doing. It makes sense in some respects, but With Montero, it wasn't even that. When they got Montero and everybody looked at each other, like, what's going on here exactly? Did they pay Montero?
Right, he became a top 10 paid reliever. And yeah. He wasn't even, and they already had Presley on the roster who was getting paid more than him. It was very strange. And then you throw money at Hader the next year, and it's like, wow, this team sure has invested a lot of money in its bullpen. But you're absolutely right. Like, the Abreu signing, at the time, there were many people that pointed out his power numbers were going down, and they were. Like, there were certainly statistical signs of decline. I didn't look at the advanced stats with him to see if his bat speed had gone down or whatever. But his last year with the White Sox, the power numbers weren't up there. I think he only hit 15 home runs, but the efficiency number, you know, average and OPS were still decent, and you had money to spend. You were well under the competitive balance tax when you went into that offseason, so you had some money to spend. You had a need at first base because you were letting Yuli Gurriel walk. So that one you could at least talk yourself into. I don't know that anyone was saying it was going to be the disaster that it was. You're absolutely right. The Montero one, the day that it got signed, was like, whoa. $11 million for a guy who's, like, at best, your eighth inning guy on this team.
And had come off of his one really impressive season.
He was a throw-in in the Kendall Graveman trade. Like, he wasn't even the guy you targeted.
Looking around here, like, can I just go back in time and can we retain Charlie Morton instead of, like, Charlie Morton had made a turnaround, but it had been several years, and he had shown that it was going to stick.
Yeah.
This was the 2.37 ERA season out of Montero. Was by far like the most innings he'd ever pitched.
Wild.
It was his lowest ERA ever. And I think as an organization, you're tempted to think, well, this is just what we do. We've completely transformed him as a pitcher. But especially when it comes to guys that get a higher workload than they've ever had before.
Yeah.
Like with Christian Javier.
Yeah.
Man, you gotta wait until that next season and see if it sticks, because that's as much a test as the first actual season where you're pitching all those innings.
Trip Taco, just $2.99. Comes with a big Q, this deal's so fine. Brisket breakfast, so much to choose. For $2.99, you really can't lose. Taco to go. This deal legit. Taco to go. Only at Quick Trip. Taco to go. $2.99.
Biggest development of the season is the bullpen, I think, easily right now. It's the best thing they have going. The biggest development of the weekend was Altuve. In this article from Matt Kawahara, it talks about how the coaches have been working with Altuve to try to get him to lift the ball more. He's been hitting the ball on the ground way, way too much. 8-for-17 over the weekend, 2 home runs, and I think the big thing, too, he was hitting the ball hard. Half the balls he hit over the weekend had an exit velocity of over 95 miles an hour. So they made some adjustments to, kind of his back leg, how he's loading his hands with his swing, kind of getting into the ball a little bit more. And it showed, it just goes to show you, he's 35 years old and you still get into bad habits at times.
Yeah.
You got to be constantly tweaking things.
And then just the very simple, hey, try to hit opposite. And that's helped out a lot with him. I mean, that's where one of the most promising things about Altuve hopefully getting out of his slump while they were at home was that, man, Altuve gets tempted by that Crawford boxes and he'll try to pull. He consciously made the decision to go the opposite direction with it, and it worked out in the environment in which it's most tempting.
Yep.
So I think he's walked through the bar and not ordered a shot, Sean. If you were a recovering alcoholic, he was like, all right, this is I passed this test.
Right.
All right. Now I just got to know there's going to be other short left fields out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going to walk through more bars that have short left fields.
There is, yeah.
I can't get soused on 29 shots of Jack.
No,
slash
no.
Trying to hit a home.
They've got a good old fashioned in Baltimore. You know, they've got an excellent Manhattan in Manhattan of all places. Yes, yeah. Number three, the others who are getting it done. You know, the other like Jake Myers right now, Victor Caratini, Mauricio Dubon, Cam Smith. These are all guys who have batting averages of over 300 in whatever the most recent chunk is that they're throwing around
Sean,
on the internet out
I'm,
there.
I'm here to be your stat nerd that figures out a way to make something sound either better or worse than it actually is.
Give it to me.
So, Sean, I know you're big into, runs. How many runs have you scored? Ooh.
Yeah.
Like, that matters. It's the advanced stats that matter. Because if you look at it, these 17 games, all right, they average 4.1 runs per game.
Mm-hmm.
That would be 21st in the league if that was their season number.
Okay.
So they didn't produce a whole lot of runs.
Yeah.
But,
okay, it is a but coming, yeah.
Weighted runs created plus during the 17-game stretch.
Oh,
they
yeah.
were sixth in the majors.
Okay, now hang on a second.
Yeah.
You
might want to score actual runs, but I got news for you, buddy. If you were playing in a generic ballpark with calm weather conditions against any average pitcher, they standardize it for the ballpark and everything.
So they've just had really bad weather and stadium luck
bad
is
luck.
What I'm hearing?
I don't know if they factor weather into it or not. They normalize everything.
They do? They take all the variables out of it.
I have a hard time after that series in Tampa where you could – pretty much putt the ball, and it was going to be a home run.
Yes, this is what happens when it's just a man and a pitcher and a ball with no outside elements. They would be the sixth best team in baseball.
In a standard Major League Baseball park,
cookie cutter Major
League
Baseball park,
average left field, average right field,
with all the fans just sitting with their hands folded and staring at the field, not doing anything.
Like in COVID,
placards.
This
is what it would have been in a COVID field. Any run generating stat where the difference between actuality and the stat nerd galaxy is over half the teams in the league, like 15.
Yeah.
Sorry, weighted whatever the hell you are. Yeah, you're weighted a little too much. But now that said, of these guys, the miniature circle of trust here: Myers, Caratini, Dubon, Cam Smith. What's their expected COT factor? Expected circle of trust. Do you trust any of these guys that they're going to keep this thing going?
As you have pointed out endlessly, hey, last year in May, Jake Myers had a 924 OPS.
Yeah.
And then for the rest of the season, it was a 562 OPS.
God, it was that bad the rest of the year?
He was a horrible baseball player the rest of the year.
562.
Until we get through Juneteenth, I'd say. Let's wait until Juneteenth.
Juneteenth, okay.
Which is when we'll make our decision on Jake Myers.
On Jake Myers. When I think of Juneteenth, I think of Jake Myers, for sure.
The whitest possible looking dude in
sports. Goofiest white guy in baseball. Juneteenth.
That guy that you're like, oh yeah, that kid grew up in a cul-de-sac.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
On Juneteenth, we will decide whether or not Jake Myers is worthy.
Sounds good. All right, that's the date. We'll do a circle of trust on Juneteenth. All right, good summary by Matt Kawahara on the Chronicle. Good stuff. All right, and the Astros 10-7 in those 17 games. 1.5
games.
You know
what Kawahara does? Kawahara, he stands the whole time during the game.
Does he?
I think he's one of these psychotically healthy people that just are, you know, get 40,000 steps a day.
Okay.
He's constantly probably eats the exact same thing every day.
It's
got a lot of greens in it.
What is standing for 3 hours burn? What's that burn? Like 11 extra calories?
It's
or
not
something?
About a matter of burning calories. It's kind of just a matter of keeping all your systems up and running properly.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Being sedentary. The number of hours you sit per day is highly correlated to dying younger. So, it's way better to stand all day than to sit all day.
That's smart, man. That's smart. All right. You and I both watched this Brett Favre documentary yesterday. This, not a great look for Brett Favre at all. I've got the power rankings of the five biggest scumbags in this documentary. There were a handful of them. I've got my power ranking. I want to see if it matches up with Seth's. The final Favre Doc scumbag power rankings coming up. We got some Texans and some Astros. Plenty of stuff to get to on the show today as well. Stay there.
Taco to go. Taco to. And a big Q. Taco to go. Taco to go.
We just
Quick trip taco.
taco, just $2.99. Comes with a big cube, this deal's so fine. Brisket breakfast, so much to choose for $2.99. You really can't lose.
Taco, to go. Taco, to go.
This deal legit.
Taco, to go. Taco,
only at Quick Trip.
Taco, to go. Taco, to go. Taco, to go. $2.99. Taco, to go.